Good morning, a Wednesday morning. We are with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, this morning, let's talk about what happened last night in South Carolina, where the focus of the sharp attacks this time on Bernie Sanders, the front runner, was combative mood, somewhat messy, as the Times says, sharp jabs and angry crosstalk, and including Michael Bloomberg saying to Bernie Sanders, Vladimir Putin thinks Donald Trump should be president of the United States, and that's why Russia is helping you get elected, so you'll lose to him.
Well, it was a mess. These people were out to destroy each other, and there sits Donald Trump, the beneficiary of all of this anger and mixed messaging. And I watched with my jaw dropping and saying, how could the Democrats have set this thing up in such a way as that they would literally destroy their chances for winning? Because it's over and over again, and nothing has really changed. Turns out, of course, that Bernie Sanders is a very good debater. We knew that. Michael Bloomberg is not a very good debater. Clearly, he was better than he was the last time. He kidded around a little bit about it and the rest of it. But still, he is not a great debater. And unfortunately, this whole thing has gotten to be a bit of a quiz show. And that's why we saw what we saw last night. When it came to the coronavirus, we heard very, very little. Look, our experts in the United States are saying to us now, you better make sure you have enough provisions in your house. You may not be able to go out, and people are very scared. And this is something that we're not hearing a lot about in a Democratic debate, and we ought to be, because this is policy. What has happened in other countries, in China and Vietnam and other places, is going to happen here. In the meantime, the stock markets, David, are going down, 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 and that's going to really hurt an awful lot of people who have investments, who are retiring, who are counting on this money one way or another. It's always been phony money. I've always known it. So none of this is particularly good news for Trump. When you add it all up, the fact that he's now presiding over the coronavirus mess and seems stymied in terms of what he can do or should be doing. And then he also has the stock market, which is down, which is something he's been saying all along will get him reelected. All of this is very bad news, and it's scary, frankly.
Certainly to the point where you can start shutting transportation systems down, school systems down. I mean, how do you go out and vote if, goodness forbid, that happened?
2020 Olympics look like they're being threatened right now in Japan. So this does have all the hallmarks of a coming pandemic. If you're in a position of authority, you don't want to scare people. On the other hand, if you don't sufficiently prepare, you really do have a mess on your hands.
I certainly do. There was something you were saying about Bernie Sanders, that he doesn't change. There's an analysis. The race is changing, from the New York Times. Bernie Sanders doesn't seem to be. His unyielding worldview and how unlikely he is to adapt for the sake of electability. We often talk about candidates moving more toward the center during the general election. Not Sanders.
Yeah, not Bernie. Bernie's consistency is, in fact, what has got the young people very happy about him. And they are showing it. Millennials and others are saying he's the guy because he's saying the things we want to hear. He's talking about health care for all. He's talking about free college education. He's talking about all of the things that would, for all practical purposes, change the tax code in the United States. It's the only way you could possibly do it. And I think people are on to that. So if Bernie gets the nomination, it'll be interesting to see how excited the Democrats and others are about him.
Well, President Trump has demanded that two liberal justices recuse themselves from his cases, cited an opinion from Justice Sonia Sotomayor and a years-old comment by Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as evidence of bias against him.
Yeah, as if the people that he's put on that court aren't biased, and they are. You know, Justice Roberts said that there are no Democratic judges or Republican judges. Baloney. There are, of course, Republican and Democratic judges. We know when something comes up what basically the score is going to be on the Supreme Court. And, of course, this is typical Trumpism to say the others are biased when his people are the most biased of all.
You had an interesting conversation this week with the majority leader of the New York State Assembly. Her name, Crystal Peoples-Stokes. She's from the 141st District. That's the Buffalo area. You talked to her about a number of things, including this contentious issue of bail reform. She says she thinks the speaker is right. Of course, that's Carl Hastie. He says that the bail law must be examined on the facts, not fear. Nonetheless, the public in recent polls is very concerned about the change.
Well, that's right. It's an easy fix, but Hastie doesn't want to fix it. Look, Hasty is a powerful man. He is a guy who represents his constituency extremely well. People are concerned about the unfairness of bail, and it is unfair, no two ways about it. But it's got to be done in such a way that people's apprehensions will be quieted. And we know, based on polling and other things, that people are quite upset about it. And we know that the Republicans are trying to take back the Senate on the back of it. And in some of those Long Island districts and other places where they've just gained the majority in the Senate, it could be a death knell. So we know that within the Democratic Party, there's a fierce debate going on.
There's always a debate. We've seen it year in, year out, that the city, New York City, should separate itself from upstate New York, the sort of upstate-downstate divide. People Stokes, who you'll be speaking with for your Capital Connection program tomorrow at 3, didn't go for the bait. She says, hey, you know, there's a reason why New York City gets the money it does. It has the population. We're a representative democracy, and Buffalo benefits from the money that comes out of New York.
You know, it's a bunch of baloney. It always has been, the idea of splitting one state into two or even three, which we recently saw. It isn't going to happen. And she's right. New York City is the cash cow, and it has the ability to support much of what happens in New York State. It does have the population. The upstate areas are in some disarray and are hurting. And I think that's one of the reasons why Governor Cuomo has been so assiduous in getting programs around the area. And it is also probably why, frankly, he comes on WAMC as much as he does. He knows this is a population that he needs.